knowing that we are going to be partaking in communion, and this is something that we don't do lightly. The Lord, He said that when you do this in remembrance of me. And so we're going to be commemorating our Lord, His life, His also thinking about His sacrifice for us, and then His resurrection. And so as we prepare for communion, I wanted to share a message that is not out of the book of 1 Thessalonians as we've been going through Thessalonians on Sunday morning. Maybe you heard it too. This week I was listening to the radio and Skip Heisek shared this story. And the story originated, from what I understood, from Max Lucado. Max Lucado, he had put this story in a book, and I'm going to share it with you. It's about Chippy the parakeet. And he says, Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. One second, he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next, he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problems began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the end of the hose, and stuck it into the cage. Then the phone rang, and then she turned to pick up the phone, and she barely said hello when the bird got sucked up into the vacuum cleaner. So Chippy's owner gasped. She hung up the phone. She turned off the vacuum cleaner, and then she ripped open the bag, and there was Chippy. He was still in there alive, but just absolutely stunned. And since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him, and then she raced him to the bathroom. She turned on the faucet and held Chippy under the running water. Then, realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached over for the hairdryer and she blasted the pet with hot air. Exactly what's here. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter who'd initially written about the event contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. And the owner said, well, the bird is well, but Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. And then the last line of the story says, it's hard not to see why, sucked in, washed up, and blown over, that's enough to steal the song from the stoutest heart. And I was thinking about this and in preparation for today, and I wonder how many of you are sitting here right now and your song has been taken out of you. You've lost your joy because you've been sucked in, washed up, and blown over. It's been a very difficult season for you. And it's very hard for you to see beyond what you're going through. And you're hurting. You feel alone. And sometimes you even wonder if God has abandoned you. I titled this message, It's Gonna Be Okay. It's Gonna Be Okay. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to share with you 8 scriptures that it's so important for you to own. Well, you really take these scriptures and you make them your own possession. They become a part of the fiber of your being. I want to read them to you. I encourage you, if you have your own Bible, take out a pen, a highlighter, highlight them. They will help you. The first of the 8 is Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. The second is Proverbs 3:5. You can go ahead and open to both of those places, and then I'll tell you the rest after we read these two. Remember, it's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Isaiah 41:10, here, this is God speaking. He says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. The next two are Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13. You can turn there. And then Romans chapter 8, 28, which most of us could probably quote. But looking at Jeremiah, remember, you're going to be okay. But looking at Jeremiah, here the Lord speaking, he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." The next two are Psalms 118, verses 5 through 8. And you can keep a finger in Romans. We're looking at 8:18. Psalm 118, verse 5. The psalmist, he says, "I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me." And then he says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Romans 8:18, Paul, he tells us, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." And then the last set of scriptures is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. And then Philippians 4, 13. First Peter chapter 5, verse 6, Peter says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Amen. And then Paul in Philippians 4:13, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Now, these verses, they have for us a message. And what I want to draw out of these verses before we partake of the elements is when we feel or we have been sucked in, washed up, and blown over, generally there's two things that we do. There could be more, but at least these two things we do. We do the opposite of what we should do, and that's like the normal human response. What we should do is, during these times, we should trust the Lord. But it's not always so easy, especially when the impact is, it almost feels like it's going to kill you, like you're dying inside. And one of the things that we do so often is we get afraid. We get afraid. When we feel like everything has just been taken away from us, the rug's been ripped out from under our feet, we don't understand why. We're just kind of minding our own business, serving the Lord, doing what we should be doing, and then all of a sudden, we get sucked in. And it could be unexpected, and we get afraid. And I love how God understands our weakness. I love how God, he's compassionate towards us. And even when we struggle in our faith, he still reaches out to us to encourage us. Amen. And maybe you've been battling with fear because for you, the situation is so dire, it's hard for you to see past where you are, and you almost feel like you're losing hope. And can any good come out of this situation? But I can assure you, if you trust God, the answer is absolutely yes. It's going to be okay. And this is why scriptures like Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, and what God said to his people, and we are his people also, are so encouraging. And this is why these kinds of scriptures should be highlighted in our Bible and referred to and held on to for dear life. And I love how God, he encourages when we are afraid, he encourages us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. And don't be troubled. Don't let it trouble you, because I'm with you. I'm with you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. There is nothing or no one stronger than your God, and he will never let you down. If you trust him, he will never let you down. Now, sometimes we get into situations because of our own bad judgment and our own doing, and there are consequences, our own sin, and there are consequences. Sometimes it's in those predicaments that we learn how to trust God. And so maybe for some, it's you've just been minding your own business, you're living your life, you're really doing what's right, but then you got whacked, and it's been for a while. But there's nothing that you can pinpoint and say, well, this is because I've done this. And you're afraid because this is being prolonged, and it's like, is this going to turn around? Don't worry, God will help you. He will, in the end, you will see how God is faithful. But if you've gotten into this because of your own doing, you have to consider that. You certainly have to give that attention, because sometimes we do things that aren't right and then we suffer the consequences and we say, well, God, why did you let this happen to me? And sadly, we don't understand that it wasn't God, it was us. We did it. We did it to ourselves. And then we blame God. And sometimes it's these low lows that help us to really start to do some self-examination, as we will when we partake of the elements, and to realize, you know what, God, it wasn't you, it was me. It was me. I sinned against you. I brought this upon myself. And I'm sorry, God, for blaming you. But God is so merciful that even when we blow it big, his grace is so much bigger. He will always come and help us when we cry out to him in repentance. So one of the things we do is we fear, and God's so wonderful. He says, don't be afraid. You can trust me. The second thing we do is we do the opposite of trust. We have a hard time trusting.
Yes.
We have a hard time trusting while we're in this very situation. We have a hard time believing that God can take care of it and trusting him. And so one of the worst things that any of us could do is take the matter into our own hands. And this is why the writer of Proverbs, this proverb, he, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, so you can completely say that this is God speaking. Now, trust in me with all your heart. Trust me with every ounce of who you are. Don't trust in yourself. Don't lean on your own understanding. You know how many things we don't get, right? So many things we just don't get. And that's why, to a large degree, one of the biggest questions we ask is just a one simple three-letter word. You know what it is?
Why?
Why? Why? Why? Why? And so there is that admission that we don't know. And so to trust ourselves is a big mistake. And this is why God, he says, you know, trust me. Trust me. I know it's hard for you right now, but trust me. And so this is what we do so often. We become victims of fear, and fear works at canceling out faith. And so now I want to talk to you about what God does when we do trust him. We overcome our own fears and trust him. One of the things that's important when we find ourselves maybe even doubting God and struggling with, where are you, God, and why are you letting this? It's so important to understand the way that God thinks, because the way that I think so often is when I'm in those kinds of situations, the way I think is very cloudy, very muddy. A lot of times it's even things that, you know, I'm looking at is just so filled with feelings, and the feelings depending on, you know, what I'm feeling, but there's a lot of good feelings, you know, when someone says, hey, Pastor, my wife and I, we got a new house. You know, we're moving out of that apartment. It's like, yay, I'm happy. But then there's other feelings that they come in, and they're not good feelings. You know, the doubting and the insecurities and those kinds of negative that work at clouding. And so sometimes I'm in a situation and my thoughts are not good because they're negative and they're clouding the situation, and I'm seeing things tainted by feelings. And so I need to get out of my mind and to get into someone's mind that's way better than mine. And this is what we need to do. We need to get out of our own minds. I'm not saying be crazy, be, you know, you're out of your mind. But we really need to get God's mind in us and think about how he thinks. In those times when I don't know why, I can't see the future, a good light. I can't see good in the future. And so here, God, this is how he thinks. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." Sometimes we even think, well, God must be mad at me or God must be angry with me because of this or that. But here, God, he says, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you." And he says, "They're thoughts of peace and they're not thoughts of evil." And brothers and sisters, when you really grasp on the fact that if God be for us, who can be against us? There's victory right there. And so here, God, who is for us, he says, "I think thoughts of peace and not thoughts of evil, not towards you, to give you a future and a hope." And one of the things that we do, and it's so sad as Christians, is we put so much attention on the here and now. And Jesus put so much attention on the life that is to come. That's why he says, store your treasures in heaven. And I really believe that although we might have some hardships now, our real true future and our real true hope should be in the kingdom that is to come. But he says this, and this is what's so important. All of it is important, anything he says, but what he says here, he says, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me." You know, it's such a beautiful thing to be in that intimate fellowship with God. Think of the times when you've been down and out and you've been so worried and so preoccupied and it's been so hard for you because you've been so preoccupied with the circumstance. And then you grabbed your Bible and you just spent time with the Lord seeking him. And you didn't do it half-heartedly. You did it wholeheartedly. And then you felt the ministering Spirit of God in your heart and in your being, and you felt the presence of God. And it seemed like the more you realize the presence of God and experience the presence of God, the smaller your problem got. Or even if the problem was still there, there was a confidence that came inside of you that assured you that everything's going to be okay. And the key in all of this is this verse here. He says, "You call upon me and you will hear me, you will find me." The key is when you search for me with your whole heart. That's the key. God responds to those who with their whole heart seek him. And then what God does, here Paul tells us in Romans 8:28, and we know, and I love this. See, Paul was so confident. Now, talk about suffering. Paul was one who was very familiar with suffering. But I love how Paul, he says, "And we know." And it's good to get to that place in the storm, so to speak, where you know, I know God is going to get me through. He's going to help me along this journey. I know. I know he is with me. But Paul, he says, "And we know that all things, even the hard things, even the times when we mess up and we find ourselves as the real generator of the issue, or whether it had nothing to do with us and we were subjected to this, God can work all things, and he does work all things." Remember what Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And guess who came out of Nazareth? Jesus. He is everything good. And when we allow Jesus to shine forth in our Nazareth, so to speak, there's nothing but good that comes. And so he says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And since you are in Christ, it's evident that you love God and that you are called according to his purpose. And so he's going to work it all out for the good. Now here's a personal testimony. And this is Psalm 118. This is David. So these eight verses, you see, one, what we do naturally, we fear, and it's hard for us to trust. So we got to get out of our minds and get into God's mind to see how God thinks, because that helps us. And when we see how God thinks, then we have that confidence that what God is going to do, and he works all things out for the good. And now I share with you a personal testimony. This is David's personal testimony, or the psalmist's personal testimony, when he says, I called on the Lord in distress. When I was in trouble, when I was down and out, I called on the Lord. And he says, and the Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. You know, it's kind of poetic because you think of a place where you're real strapped and confined. Here he says, he took me out of that sense of being feeling like I'm squashed or confined, or and he brought me to a broad place where I could breathe. But it was because I called on the Lord, even in my distress, and he heard me. And then that confidence, he says, this personal testimony, the Lord is on my side. The Lord is on my side. He's with me. I will not fear. And David, often being a king and a man of war, because of trying to, you know, make sure that his people weren't always being under attack. But even before then, Saul, someone that David served, turned on him, was jealous of him. So David was very familiar with people trying to get at him. And so he says, what can man do to me? If God is on my side, what can man do to me? And then he says, the Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. And then he says, look, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And sometimes we get into circumstances and we run to other people for help and we feel like, well, nobody's there. Everybody's abandoning us, or nobody cares. But here the psalmist gives a personal testimony and he says, you know what? You're better off trusting in God than looking to other people to help you. Now, don't get me wrong. We're here to help each other. But bottom line, our real true help comes from the Lord. And that's why it's so important to not put too much weight on other people, because they can't do what only Christ can do. And then here, Paul gives us the eternal view, and it's good to know and be confident. Here's a personal testimony that God delivers. We understand this, but sometimes it's good to be reminded or hear this. But then we understand this from the personal testimony, but then it's good to grasp on that eternal view. And here Paul says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And having that eternal view in the midst of suffering always helps us to deal with whatever we might be going through. Having the eternal view always elevates a person. And that's what God always does. He tries to elevate your thinking to have the eternal view and to keep your eyes on the things above and not on the things of this earth. And so, here Peter tells us what to do. If this is you, if you've been in a time where you've been sucked up, washed up, blown over, The most important thing for you to do, here Peter tells us, he says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Put yourself under God's authority. Put yourself under God's word. Put yourself under God, his care, and he will lift you up. In due time, he will lift you up. Don't take the matter into your own hands. Don't run to other people and put too much confidence in other people. They will let you down. Just humble yourself and say, Lord, what is it that you want to teach me, train me, or what can I do? How can I be used through this? What's your plan? What's your purpose? And just seek the Lord with your whole heart. And then he says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And that's the most important thing, is taking all those cares, the hurts, the whys, the perspective of things that is just a dark perspective, all that stuff, you just cast it on the Lord. Cast all your cares upon the Lord. And then Paul tells us what we can do, because we don't have to be defeated. We don't have to be victims. Paul, he told us we're more than conquerors in Christ. And so we can do something. And Paul, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul said this while he was in prison, not knowing what his future was, what his future held. And he suffered a lot. He says, I know how to go with and I know how to go without. He suffered hunger. He suffered all kinds of shipwreck. He suffered people abusing him physically. He'd gotten beaten so many times for the gospel's sake. But he says, I can endure it. I can overcome. I can handle all things. I can take this. I can handle this and grow from it and be a victor, and not only have victory through this, I can also continue to function and even help other people. And so this is what you can do. This is what we can do. We can do all things. And remember, it's through Christ who gives us the strength to endure. I don't know what you're going through today, but I want to encourage you. Maybe this is very much for you. And maybe for others, it's not a message that really speaks to you. But I pray that you would take these scriptures and encourage other people. But if this is for you, I just wanted to remind you or to encourage you that it's going to be okay. The Lord is with you. You need not fear, because the Lord is with you. You could trust him. The Lord is with you. Trust him. He's going to see you through it.